Bonjour, bon après-midi pour vous. Je remercie Patrick Boucheron et Étienne Anheim, le Collège de France. Je suis désolée que je ne peux pas être avec vous aujourd'hui et aussi, désolée que je vais parler en anglais. Donc, Rethinking the Black Death, can the Ottoman Plague Experience offer us novel insights? And I will argue that it can in three important ways. I believe my research makes it possible for me to argue that studying the Ottoman experience of plague during the Black Death pandemic and the recurring waves of the plague during the second pandemic can allow us to intervene in the historiography of plague in three main ways. The first that I will be talking about today is that it helps us to redefine the spatio-temporal definition of the second pandemic. The second is that it helps us rethink the circulation patterns of plague, but also to diversify the plague ecologies. And the third theme that I will be talking about today is that my research allows us to revisit, rethink, and question and problematize pandemic narratives that we have mainly received or acquired from 19th century historiography on the Black Death. And here I will focus the discussion mainly on the pandemic legacy of the Black Death in the historiography, Gothic epidemiology, as we might call it, and also the question of epidemiological Orientalism that is embedded in these pandemic narratives. So let us start. First, I would like to start here, and as Etienne just mentioned, now plague historiography of the Black Death and the second pandemic, generally speaking, has been until recently studied from a very Eurocentric perspective. But this is fortunately changing now with the integration of other geographic areas into the scholarship on plague historiography. And now we have excellent studies coming from looking at the Black Death and the later waves of the Black Death during the second pandemic in Africa, especially sub-Saharan Africa, in the Middle East, and in Central Asia, as far east as East Asia. All right, so now we're rethinking the geography of the second pandemic. And here I am showing you the map that historian Ole Benediktau used for his 2004 Black Death, a complete history. In fact, I received a copy of the new edition of the book, 2021 edition, I believe, and the same map is more or less still being used. And of course, there are serious issues of thinking about the history of the Black Death as an entirely or exclusively European phenomenon, and hopefully, my research speaks to the fact that we can't afford to think about the history of plague mainly centered on Europe, and it should be possible to intervene in this way of geographic thinking. And in fact, when we look at the 14th century itself, perhaps not entirely from the perspective of plague, but conceptualizing its connectivity or the level of connectedness of Afro-Eurasia in the middle of 14th century, we should probably be thinking of something like this. Here we're looking at the network of connections between different urban centers across Afro-Eurasia, which should be our guide into thinking about the possibilities of spread of either the Black Death itself or the later outbreaks of plague during the second pandemic as things that cannot be only studied from the perspective of Western Eurasia, but that we need to expand the our thinking about this phenomenon in a much larger space. And in fact, I find it interesting to think about how we think of plague studies, especially Black Death studies today, looking just a very small part of the very large iceberg that is visible, right? And we probably miss a great majority of what we need to know about it. Here is the map that is coming from the recent study of Monica Green, The Four Black Deaths, that's published the American Historical Review very recently. And in that article, based on paleogenetics research and combining the paleogenetic studies with historical sources, Monica Green has proposed that the Black Death or the second pandemic, in fact, did not start in the middle of 14th century, as we all think or believe or have learned to repeat, right? But it started in early 13th century. So expanding the time frame of the second pandemic for about a century and a half and thinking about its origins in Central Asia and its expansion across Eurasia in different waves or in different directions. And of course, what we know as the history of the Black Death and the second pandemic is generally after its introduction to Europe. So if we don't center our narratives of the Black Death and the second pandemic on Europe, there is a possibility that we might see a much larger picture of a phenomenon that lasted much longer than our conventional periodization of the second pandemic and spread to a very a much larger area than we previously believed. So here is, I believe, where my research comes into play, especially looking at how plague can be thought of in the context of the Ottoman Empire, generally speaking, the Eastern Mediterranean and the Middle East region, but also including connections to the Black Sea region and its hinterland, and as well as connections to the Indian Ocean, the Red Sea, the Mediterranean world, generally speaking. So in this larger geography of what the Ottoman Empire came to rule, how can we think of plague, both the Black Death itself and the later outbreaks of the second pandemic, in a way that can inform our thinking about plague in Europe? So here I would like to shift the discussion to the circulation patterns of plague and the behavior of plague. And by the behavior of plague, I mean the emergence of outbreaks, the persistence of plague, and its disappearance. So these are three important questions that we can rethink in the light of research coming from outside of Europe. And here we're looking at possible introduction routes of the second pandemic, of the Black Death to Anatolia and the Balkans and the Eastern Mediterranean, generally speaking. And it is true that 14th century Ottoman sources are not, 14th century especially is not a time period in which we have plenty of documentary sources. The documentary sources are very slim, but it is still possible to put together the basic chronology and geography of the circulation of plague. But starting in the 15th and the 16th centuries, the sources are much better, much richer to document the movement of plague and its circulation across the Ottoman world. Here I am showing you the map that shows the circulation patterns of plague in and out of the Ottoman Empire. And here, in fact, there is a better map that will show us all the different trajectories for the movement of plague. And what I would like to highlight here is two important things. First of all, when we look at the movement of plague, east and west, right? The first thing that I would like to highlight is that in the 15th century, and in fact, even in the early 16th century, plague comes to the Ottoman Empire from Venice, Ragusa, and the Balkan cities. So basically, plague is moving east, right? And generally, it's assumed that plague comes to Europe from the Ottoman Empire, but this is not exactly the case for the early period. So, and I mean the recurring outbreaks of the Black Death, right? So in the 15th century and up to the early 16th century, we see a west to east movement of plague. But later in the 16th century and afterwards, we see that the circulation patterns of plague becomes much more complex, and plague is moving in many different directions. And so, and this is also the 16th century, I should underline, is a time period when the Ottoman Empire is expanding politically, undertaking many conquests in many different directions. This is the time in which the Ottoman Empire, in fact, becomes an empire, integrating the lands of the former Mamluk Sultanate in Egypt and Syria. In the early 16th century, it's also expanding eastwards toward what then became the Safavid Empire, and in the northern parts of the Black Sea region and the western parts of the Black Sea region, and also expanding in the Balkan Peninsula, right? So all these expansions and incorporation of new regions made it possible for plague to spread in a much, much more complex way than it did previously. And so plague is moving south to east, east to west, west to east, south to north, north to south in various directions. But this takes me to the second point I would like to make. And that is that in these complex circulation patterns, and if we look at this map, we can make this out very obviously, that Istanbul, Constantinople, emerges as the hub of plague, as a center by which plague is transmitted from one part of the empire to another. So whenever you have plague in basically the larger Eastern Mediterranean world, it will very quickly end up in Istanbul. And from there, it will be distributed to other places. This means that the different regions whose plague networks had not been incorporated or had not been united to each other becomes centered in Istanbul, and Istanbul becomes the main plague distributor. And I believe this process can fully be seen by the late 16th century. So I argue that from 1570s onwards, Istanbul becomes the plague hub of the Eastern Mediterranean world. And that's important to keep in mind for the later part of my talk. Now, let me move on to talking about why is it important to think about this larger geography and larger chronology of the second pandemic, but also why it matters for us to rethink the behavior of plague and plague legacies. And here I would like to draw on from a recent article that I published, in fact, in the context of the COVID-19 pandemic, to rethink the history of plague in Ottoman and Turkish, the history of the second pandemic in Ottoman and Turkish history. And I make the point that plague, in fact, lasted for 600 years in the Ottoman Empire, because the first documented case of plague in Ottoman sources, as far as I could trace it back, dates from 1347. And the last outbreak of plague that took place between modern Turkey and Syria, in a very small village and a very small outbreak, it happened in 1947. Recent, in fact. So full 600 years of a plague. And what does this mean? How do we think about this? And in fact, it's 600 years and all the recurrent outbreaks of plague. It's a very meticulous studies needed to look at the circulation of plague and the recurrence of the outbreak. So this is a project that I am collaborating with colleagues, and hopefully it will be open to users very soon. It's the Black Death Digital Archive. Later this year, we will open this. And these are documents collected from the Ottoman Empire that shows us the full 600 years of history of plague, and it will be map visualizations will make it possible to look at the history of plague, especially in the Eastern Mediterranean, but we're hoping to integrate plague data from the Western Mediterranean as well. If you have 600 years of plague in one part of the world, and in fact, I would argue that it is probably the best documented history of plague in the entire world history, because nowhere else we have a complete continuous occurrence of plague for 600 years. So I think we need to think carefully about, you know, the behavior of the disease, how it emerges, how it reemerges, why it persisted in this part of the world longer than in other regions. And when you ask this question, the classic explanation that you get, at least in the historiography, is that plague lasted in the Ottoman Empire longer than it lasted in Europe because the Ottoman Empire did not adopt quarantine policies until the 19th century. And so the human intervention was lacking. So it was a social and political problem. I disagree with this explanation because I believe that quarantine can perhaps help prevent or stop or perhaps reduce the risk of reintroduction of plague from outside by maritime trade and travel. But if you have plague in the geography that we're looking at, it will probably recur because of its natural circumstances of plague and its ecology, right? So its persistence cannot be entirely explained by reintroduction. And so we need to look at the geographical, topographical, climatic, and environmental factors, as well as social and economic and political factors that kind of supported this persistence. And here I would like to highlight, first of all, that the Ottoman Empire was home to a very mountainous region. In fact, the mountain ranges of the Ottoman Empire can be thought of as part of the Alpine Himalayan mountain belt. And as we know, both the Alpine belt and the Himalayan belt have been home to plague for a very long time. And so we can ask this question of what does this region share with this larger geography in owning it, being host to these mountains. And here I am sharing you maps from a recent study mapping the Ottoman Empire coming from Stanford University. And this group of researchers have tried to identify the level of mountainous of the Ottoman Empire. And here we're looking at the 18th century boundaries of the Ottoman Empire. And the mountains are defined in the study as elevation over 500 meters high. And also looking at the slope of these mountains, and slope is defined of anything more than 5 degrees. And so this is what we're looking at in terms of mountains, of both elevation and slope. And when we bring together, the picture we're getting is that it is covered by 74% by what can be defined as mountains. And when we compare this figure to the average figure in the world, which is 25%, it's clearly an area that we need to take into account on the basis of its topography that housed mountains. Why is this different? Why is it different that it housed these mountains? Because these mountains were home to a very large number of wild animals, wildlife. And I believe that unless we understand the wildlife and the biological diversity in this region, we cannot really fully understand what is going on with persistence of plague. And here I don't have the time to go into all the details of these different animals, the wildlife that the Ottoman mountains were host to, but let me very quickly highlight some of the rodents that lived in this area. In fact, some of these come from contemporary written accounts and highlighting martens, weasels, and other animals that may have played a role in the distribution of plague from one plague reservoir to another, like hyenas and foxes, jackals, and whatnot. And so lynxes and leopards and, you know, martens, so all of these animals. And I just want to show a few images to emphasize the fact that the number of wildlife that once lived in this area is important to remember as we rethink the plague ecologies in this part of the world. And in fact, this also ties into the question that, well, plague disappeared gradually over the course of the 19th and 20th century. But this also corresponds to the time in which these wild animals have become locally extinct in the Ottoman Empire. So you don't have many of these species that are represented in, you know, hunting manuals. And I just am highlighting a few here. And these also can be documented not only from visual sources, but also written accounts and archival documents and other forms of narrative histories. These animals went extinct, wild animals, and especially small mammals and rodents. So is there a relationship between the extinction of these rodents in this area and the wildlife in general and the extinction of plague? And I would argue that yes, because the plague reservoirs became extinct over time. And even if plague was introduced from outside or in one part of the empire to another, it did not last much longer. And in fact, we don't have plague in this part of the world anymore. And here, a few more images that shows fur, the use of fur, which of course comes from, some of them comes from rodents and also other wild animals. So we have documents to show that hunting, especially, but also fur trade were responsible for the extinction of these rodents. So in the last part of my talk, I would like to highlight the pandemic legacies, what I call pandemic legacies that we have acquired from the 19th century. And here just a few visuals, a few maps that still reflect that we still imagine the Ottoman Empire as the plague exporter to the world around it, and especially to Europe. These are from recent scientific studies that have claimed that plague comes from the Ottoman Empire. And in fact, I would disagree with some of these studies because we don't have either the paleogenetic evidence or the historical evidence to support that. And here, not specifically from the Ottoman Empire, but just looking at the movement of plague from Central Asia westward toward Europe. And in fact, recent studies from paleogenetics in particular, making big claims about the movement of plague from one part of the world to another on the basis of single genome, for example. But that's also something that needs to be questioned, how we can use the paleogenetics information to make these big arguments and putting these big arrows on maps, unless we substantiate those claims with historical sources. And here, and a very, I believe, good model to follow is Ann Carmichael's study of plague persistence in Western Europe. And in this article in 2014, Ann Carmichael has argued that the Alpine mountains were the reservoir of plague for the maintenance of this disease and its persistence over time. And the alpine rodents, alpine marmots, may have been responsible as a reservoir species. And in fact, I think we can find some scientific proof, or at least more evidence to contextualize this claim of plague persistence in Europe, in Western Europe, on the basis of paleogenetics research. This study looking at the ancient DNA samples from Marseille, plague of Marseille, 1720-1722, in fact, demonstrated that the lineage of the lineage of Yersinia pestis involved in the second in the plague of Marseille is a direct descendant of the lineage of Yersinia pestis that we have from the Black Death. So in this case, instead of looking at the origin or the source of plague during the plague of Marseille, thinking of it as the Eastern Mediterranean, as the Levant, the Ottoman Empire, perhaps we should think of the persistence of plague within across within Europe and its reappearance as something that belongs to its internal dynamics. And here, as a historian, of course, I would like to highlight the importance of the pandemic narratives that we have acquired or inherited from the 19th century, basically, even though there's an early modern history that supported it. And this is what I call epidemiological Orientalism and thinking about the Orient as the source of plague and all diseases that affected Western Europe. And again, in a recent article, I problematize how the plague of Marseille has served a role as a turning point in the development of historical narratives within Europe to think of the Ottoman Empire as the source of plague, right? And here I would like to share at least a very brief passage with you from the Encyclopedie. And here, when we look at the entry on the plague, a pest says, la peste nous vient de l'Asie. Depuis 2000 ans, toutes les pestes qui ont paru en Europe ont été transmises par la communication des Saracens, des Arabes, des Maures ou des Turcs avec nous, et toutes les pestes. I would like to underline that toutes les pestes n'ont pas eu chez nous d'autres sources. So denying the possibility that there was any other source to plague that took place in Europe. And in fact, this is highly problematic, not only in historical studies, but we also find an visual articulation of this in art, right? Looking at Antoine Jean Gros' depiction of Napoleon visiting Jaffa and the plague victims. In fact, we know that this visit did not take place, but here I would like to emphasize the Oriental landscape, but also the stark visual contrast between the disciplined bodies of Napoleonic soldiers and the sickly bodies of Oriental subjects, and this contrast between light and darkness here, and the visual cues, I think, are very, very prominent to understand that contrast. And he, of course, in the 19th century, this was a very timely argument to make for the political, geopolitical circumstances, because in the 19th century, the Ottoman Empire had become the sick man of Europe, right? So politically speaking, it was an argument that could be made. And we see that this argument took hold in the 19th century scholarship. Let me just switch to this one. With the publication of Hecker's work, the Black Death. In fact, that's where we see he coins the term Black Death, the Schwarze Tod, first in German, then, you know, very soon after that, the English translation takes place, and we find the Black Death as a category in itself, from the naming of the Black Death pandemic. In fact, I have a forthcoming article about this. Why is Black Death Black, right? And there we can see the legacy that it inherited, but also expanded on and articulated this Gothic epidemiology, emphasizing the somewhat supernatural or curious aspects of plague, but also depicting it as a European phenomenon, right? So the pandemic legacy that we have acquired from not only from Hecker's, but all the historical epidemiology that followed after that, all the way to the beginning of the third pandemic at the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century, we're still repeating these older narratives of epidemiological Orientalism. I believe my time should probably be up. I will stop here.